You're listening to The Business of Teaching Yoga, a podcast by me, Cora Giroux. Tune in each week to learn how you can turn your teaching career into a joyful and sustainable business. The world needs what you have, and it's my mission to help you reach more people, increase your income, and share yoga in a way that is authentically you. So make sure you hit subscribe so you don't miss all my best tips, tricks, tools, and resources to help you get started building your dream business today. Hello and welcome to the Business of Teaching Yoga podcast. So welcome back to season three. If you have been a longtime listener, thank you so much for your support. And if you're new here, welcome to the show. Today we are going to talk all about making money as a yoga teacher. This is a topic that many people hate it when I talk about it because you know, the idea of putting yoga and money together offends people, and also personal opinion, a lot of people have unresolved shit when it comes to money. But I'm a realist, right? And if you teach yoga as your career, you need to pay attention to how you are going to generate income, how you are going to make money from your teaching career. I personally believe that money is neutral. And it's the person who is using that money and how they are using the money that defines its impact, whether it's a positive impact or a negative impact. I think money itself is neutral. That's my personal opinion. Okay, so before we get into that, I do want to share a couple of little updates. First of all, I am recording this from my brand new office out in the country. I mentioned a little while ago that I was planning a move out to the country. It's the beginning of January when I'm recording this, and we've just moved into our new house. It is in the New England region of New South Wales in Australia. So just outside of a town called Tamworth. We're on half an acre, and our house was built in 1890. It is full of character and needs a lot of work, but it's super exciting to be here. We're just fixing up the house and getting the yard ready for some chickens and maybe a dog. And yeah, it's been really exciting, a really great change of pace. It's nice to be closer to nature and also just to have a different lifestyle. It's something that I'm so grateful for, that this podcast and my business being online allows for that flexibility to move out of the city. You know, like everyone else in the world, being locked down in the city in an apartment without even a balcony just really started to take its toll on us. So I hope the sound is okay in my new office. This is the first episode I'm recording, so I haven't had a chance to test it yet, but you let me know if it's not. So yay, I'm coming to you from my new office in our very old new house. I have sweat dripping down me as I record this because it's super hot here and we are right in the middle of summer. Okay, so that's announcement number one. Cora has moved. Announcement number two is that I am putting forward a new strategy with my content this year. And that will be, you know, obvious if you're tuning into this episode. It's a solo episode, which in the past, I didn't do those very often. They were, you know, kind of saved for bonus episodes and special things like that. But moving forward in the podcast this season, I'm testing out a new strategy where I bring you a solo episode each and every week. It will be a deep dive into a particular topic. Sometimes I will be answering your questions. And it's just a way for me to share a little bit more of what I hope will be helpful and valuable information for you when it comes to starting your own business. I will still be doing interviews every now and then, but they won't be as regular on the show. However, the fun thing is, in conjunction with this new strategy, I have also launched a blog and a YouTube channel. Now, I'm assuming that if you are listening to this podcast, it's because you like to listen to podcasts. But just in case you are also interested in having this content in written form or watching it on a video, I would highly recommend that you subscribe to my newsletter. You can do that at coragiru.com/newsletter. And everyone who is on my newsletter gets all of my content a week in advance. So if you were on my newsletter, you would have had this episode last week, along with a YouTube video and a detailed blog all about the same topics. So if that is something that interests you, you want to see this content in different formats, and or you just want to get it a week early, because who doesn't like that sort of exclusive access, then head over to my website, coragiru.com/newsletter, and sign yourself up. Okay, and to celebrate this new strategy and the launch of my YouTube channel, I am giving away one of my custom designed tote bags every single week. Now, I designed these tote bags a little while ago. I did a poll on my Instagram stories to pick out the bag, and then I got my my design on and designed a really cute bag that, you know, if this was a visual format, I would love to just show it to you. I think a picture says 1,000 words. You can check it out on my Instagram. I'm sure I'll have a picture of it up by then. But it's a beautiful tote bag. It's a really great size. It has a great structure, really good for things like shopping, or, you know, sometimes I'm super classy and I even use a canvas tote bag as a handbag if I'm just going to the shops or something like that. And on the front of it, it has my motto, which I've coined just from talking to clients and students, of "it's a practice," right? It's a practice. Building a business is a practice, just like teaching or just like your practice, right? It's a practice. It's something we come back to day in and day out, and we learn and we grow and evolve. So if you would like to win one of those tote bags, I will be selecting a winner each and every week from my YouTube comments and the reviews on this podcast. So I'll pool all my reviews and my comments together, and I will pick my favorite one. And when I pick my favorite one, I will announce it on the following episode and give you all the details about how to claim your tote. So if you would like to be entered into that contest to win a little bit of swag, then leave us a review on iTunes if that's where you're listening from. Now, I will say, if you are in a country that is not Australia and you would like to be entered into that draw, just leave the review as you normally would, take a screenshot and send it to us at support@coragiru.com. Reason being is that when I log on to iTunes, I just see the reviews from Australia. So I want to make sure that I don't miss out if you are leaving a review from a different country. I will absolutely send this tote bag anywhere in the world. You just got to leave a review. So if you'd like to be entered into the contest to win, you know what to do. All right, let's see if I have any other announcements that I want to go over. Oh, Lost to Launch is starting again in March 2022. So that is this year, in a couple of months, depending on when you are listening to this. We are currently accepting applications. You can go to coragiru.com/lost-to-launch and you can apply there. We also have a couple of info sessions if you want to drop in and have a chat about the course with me and the other students. Register yourself for one of those. Lost to Launch is a business 101 course. It takes 4 months, and in that 4 months, you will learn lifetime skills of how to start your business. It's something that I have done multiple times with physical businesses, with online businesses, and it's a repeatable, systematic process. If you want to learn it and have a great community and have one-on-one mentoring from me while you build your business, head to coragiru.com/lost-to-launch. Okay, so now let's get into today's content. I'm on I have a new desk chair that swivels, so hopefully my swiveling around doesn't impact the audio too much. I am a fidgeter, so if you guys are getting awkward audio, you just let me know and I'll stay still. I'll try my best anyway. Okay. So before we get into this, about how to make money as a yoga teacher, let's just get a lay of the land. Now, if you have been teaching yoga for a while, this is not going to be news to you. But in the off chance that you are listening and maybe you are newer to the teaching world, we gotta, you know, set our groundwork here. So, how much do yoga teachers actually make? Well, the vast majority of teachers that I know work as independent contractors. This could be changing. One of our guests from season two of the podcast, Corey Sterling, talked about the fact that he's seeing more yoga studios hire their yoga teachers as employees because they're trying to make themselves more attractive to yoga teachers. I haven't seen that play out here just yet in Australia, but it may be happening in other parts of the world. However, most yoga teachers work as independent contractors. So I just, you probably know that, right? But I'm just going to point it out so we're all on the same page. And when I did a poll in 2019 in three different Facebook groups, I asked, what do you get paid for teaching a 60-minute group class? In the group in Australia, the Facebook group, the average was around $60 a class. There was a group in Vancouver specific, and they made around $55 Australian per class. These are all Aussie dollars. I've done the currency conversion. And in the international group, the majority of teachers were paid around $34 per 60-minute class. Another piece of information that we want to take into account when we're looking at how much do yoga teachers actually make is the salary guidelines published by Yoga Australia in 2018, stating that teachers on average make $50 per class. So let's just say that a teacher is teaching 15 classes a week, and they're getting paid somewhere around like $55, right? So if we average 50 and 60 together, that's the kind of the average rate here in Australia, we get 55. So they're teaching 15 classes a week, and that is a full-time job as a yoga teacher. You know, every 1 hour class you teach usually takes about 3 hours of work when you think about the prep and getting there and signing students in and saying goodbye and all of that sort of stuff. So if we factor that in, that's around 45 hours of work per week, which is full time, right? So when you do the math and you account for taking 4 weeks of holidays, the average yoga teacher who relies on teaching group classes for their income is around $36,000 Australian a year before tax. So just keep that in mind. Now, this is pre-COVID, right? So a lot has changed in the teaching landscape. And unfortunately, from what I've heard from many of my friends who teach, the changes have not been for the better. Right? Some teachers are making more if they're teaching classes online for themselves and they're very well attended, which we can talk about in a minute. But generally, teachers are finding it harder to get classes, and the pay rates have either not gone up or they have reduced. I'm not blaming studio owners here. I think they have had the absolute shortest end of the stick when it comes to what's happening with COVID. Gosh, I saw someone... I think it was Modo Yoga, who I originally trained with. That's who I did my first yoga teacher training with. I don't have a note on this. It's just from memory, but I think over the last 2 years, they've had to be closed because of lockdowns for 400 days. That's significant, right? So I'm not blaming studios here. I know that they're doing it tough, but reality is pay rates have largely stayed the same or in some instances gone down through COVID. So even though this $36,000 before tax is a pre-COVID number, I'm going to stick with it and estimate that it is a generous estimate, for lack of a better word, of what a full-time yoga teacher could make. So if you already do teach full-time, you're like, newsflash, Cora, I already know all this. Yes, amazing. If you do not teach full-time, you might be asking yourself, like, is it even possible then to teach yoga as a full-time career? Well, and the answer is it depends, right? It depends on a few different factors. Number one, Maybe you have a lifestyle that making $36,000 before tax each year is totally cool for whatever reason. No judgment either way. Maybe you've got someone else who pays the bills. Maybe you live in a shared accommodation and you know you don't have a car and you're super happy to keep your lifestyle really minimal. Or anything in between, right? There could be any variety of circumstances where making that much money is an okay thing for you in your life. And if that's the case, okay, cool. If you are listening though and you're like $36,000 a year before tax, how does that work? How am I going to pay my bills? That's not even my, like that's my rent or whatever. I got you. Don't worry. When I started teaching, I was 23. I was $50,000 in debt. I lived in a shared house and I did have a car because as a yoga teacher, it's pretty hard to not have a car when you're teaching in person. And I was able to get by on that salary, but I wasn't able to save or do anything else really other than just pay for my bare minimum living expenses. So I feel you. And I would not be able to live on that now with the expenses that I have and the lifestyle that I'm, you know, the quality of life that I'm interested in living. So it is possible definitely to make more than that. I absolutely did. Again, people hate me talking about it. I've gotten feedback on the podcast that I shouldn't mention how much money I made or make, but hey, whatever. I think these things should not be taboo. That's my personal opinion, that we should be able to have a normal conversation about money. But if you want to make more than that, then you will have to look outside the box of teaching group classes, right? And that's what this podcast episode is really about. I'm going to include group classes in the revenue streams that I share just because we have to, you know, state the obvious. But it's my hope for you that you use this podcast episode and the information in it to go above and beyond in your mind of what is possible when it comes to making money as a yoga teacher. Okay, so I have 9 different revenue streams to share with you. I'm going to share an overview of each of the 9 revenue streams, the pros and cons that I see personally with each one of those revenue streams, the typical pay, and where I remember, I will also share what I got paid for doing these things if they are things that I have done. I'll just put that little footnote in there because I also think it's a good example. Okay, so Captain Obvious, first revenue stream for yoga teachers is to teach group classes for a studio or for a gym. And it's what most people think about when they think about teaching yoga, right? Classes usually range anywhere from 45 to 90 minutes. A 60-minute class is pretty much the average. Teachers are often paid on a flat rate, a sliding scale, or a per head basis. Flat rates are usually the best way to go. Sliding scale and per head basis work great if you are a popular teacher in a well-attended studio at a great time. Other than that, you'll be wanting a flat rate that helps you budget and things like that. Teaching in large cities with those ideal time slots can be a good thing to be on a different pay scale. But for most studios and teachers, it's probably not you could end up making very little money with those sliding scale or per head rates. Okay, so what are the pros of teaching group classes for a studio or a gym? You have limited responsibility. You don't need any business skills. You can just show up and teach your class. You will probably, if like you're in a good scenario, have opportunities for mentoring and feedback, and you get to be part of a community. In my mind, the cons of teaching classes for a studio or a gym is that you reach a pay ceiling very, very quickly, which means it's difficult to earn a sustainable income, i.e. if you want to earn more than $36,000 a year, you have to teach more classes in this scenario, if this is only what you were relying on. And for most teachers I know, you know, between 15 and 20 is absolute max. When you start getting up towards 20, though, burnout is a very real thing. Okay, so it's not scalable. That's what that means. You have limited rights if you're an independent contractor. So if your classes get cut or, you know, anything that you are interested in what you teach, you can't really have too much of a say in that quite often, and you have little control over your working conditions. We've already covered it, but your typical pay is between $50 and $60 per class Australian. I should say, I'm quoting everything in Australian dollars because that's where I live. If you live in a different country, I will put a currency converter in the notes of this episode. Just check out how much that is in your currency, as well as just factor in the cost of living where you are as well. It's an important thing to note. And I was usually paid around 70 bucks a class after teaching for around 5 years. Sometimes it was a little over 70. When I worked for myself, it was less than 70. But you know, that's where I was at when I was teaching classes for the studios I owned. Okay. Next revenue stream is to teach private yoga sessions. Many teachers begin teaching private clients because it's rewarding to have a deeper relationship with a particular student. And you get to actually see an individual's progress as they move through an evolution with the teachings of yoga, which is pretty fulfilling, right? However, it's also a more viable option financially, as per session rates are a lot higher than teaching a group class. Teachers often find private clients through their own student database or through the studios they work for. If a studio organizes the private, they find the student and they handle the payment, they will take a cut, and you'll usually invoice the studio instead of the client. So what are some of the pros of teaching private lessons? Well, you get a higher per session rate, deeper relationship with a student, potentially more control over your income if you organize the privates yourself. Like, let's say you want to keep working through the holidays. If you worked for a yoga studio, they would determine what classes are on. Whereas if you are organizing the privates yourself and you want to keep working through the holidays, you want to keep your income up, you could just contact your clients directly and see if they would continue their sessions over the holidays. So, you know, you have more control over that. Some of the cons: you might need to hire or organize a space. So if you are going to run your own privates, where are you going to do them? Probably not at your own house unless you have a good setup for that. Maybe at the client's house, but the ideal scenario is that you are hiring some sort of space to do the private in. So there's an expense there. They're not scalable. And if you run your own classes, you will need to learn how to market yourself and how to do some business admin, right? Handle payments, that sort of thing. Typical pay between 60, my bad, I just read that incorrely. Typical pay between $80 and $150 Australian per session. When I was teaching privates, I charged 120 bucks about after teaching for around 5 years, and I didn't increase that again, you know, in the years that followed that I was still teaching. So that is your revenue stream number two, teaching privates. And you're like, wow, Cora, this is like super informative. I already know this. That's cool. Keep listening. There are some much more out-of-the-box strategies near the end. I just wanted to cover the basics first in case you are brand new as a teacher and you're listening. You got to start somewhere, right? All right. Next revenue stream is to run your own yoga classes. This could be either in person or online. For many teachers, running their own classes will be the first step that they take into entrepreneurship. I love this because the risk is small, right? But you can start to develop your skills and get your feet wet. To run your own classes or any business, you assume risk for the possibility of an increased reward. In this case, the risk is the fee that you pay to hire the space and the costs associated with running your classes, like marketing and payment fees and that sort of thing. The increased reward is a higher per class rate if you can achieve well-attended classes, right? So there's a risk and reward scenario. When you get a class from a yoga studio, like when you teach a class for a yoga studio, there isn't really any risk, right? I mean, I'm sure we could think of some, but in the classic sense, you are not risking anything. Once the person, the studio owner says, yeah, Cora, you can have this Tuesday night class, I'm most likely going to get paid whether students show up or not, right? So there's very little risk, and I'm not out of pocket if students don't show up. But my, you know, average rate would be like 55 bucks a class. if you teach your own class, there's a risk. What if no one shows up? You still have to pay for that space. That's the risk. But the higher reward is, for example, if you could get 10 students in class and they're each paying $20, that's a total of $200. Let's say that you rent a space for $75 for 90 minutes, then you could make $125 a class, which is a heck of a lot more than that $55 per class rate you would typically see teaching group classes in Australia. So, what are the pros of teaching your own classes? Well, we've kind of just talked about them. Higher earning potential, more creative freedom, building your own database, which is essential for a sustainable yoga business. I should just note, I'm putting on some hand cream right now since we've been moved into the new house. I've been doing lots and lots of cleaning. My hands are so dry. So if you hear any weird noises, I am just putting hand cream on my hands, okay? All right. Cons, you will need to pay for the space, right? Even if no one shows up. So that is a risk that we've talked about. You will need to handle payments and you will need to learn how to market yourself. So you got to make sure you can get students into class. But I like this method. I think it's a great way to get your feet wet. You could do it online. You could do it in person. You know, you already probably know this because COVID happened. Many, many teachers started running their own classes. All right. The next revenue stream is to teach corporate classes. Corporate classes are a really common occurrence in businesses of all kinds, both online and in person. I've run corporate classes for multinational companies. I've also run corporate classes for small local businesses, as well as arts and culture organizations, and even a pub. Similarly to private clients, if you teach at a studio, they may hire you out to do corporates and take a cut, or you can organize them yourself. I've done both. The second strategy works best, organizing them yourself, if you know someone who works in the company that you want to teach for, and you can get a meeting to deliver a pitch for your classes. You could reach out to, like, if you have a contact, like your friend or your cousin or whatever works at this company, you could say, who should I talk to in order to do a pitch about running yoga classes? Might be the HR person, or if they have a workplace wellness department, then you could pitch to that person as well. If this is just an opinion, a little bit of, you know, my advice, not that you're asking, but you're getting it anyway, it's my podcast. If you like the corporate environment, like if that's somewhere you feel comfortable, you feel like you can relate to folks there, then I highly recommend you pursue this as a revenue stream for your business. The reason is that you can make a significant amount of money teaching corporates. So typical pay is anywhere between $80 to $250. The lower end of the pay scale is when studios organize the corporate and you just show up and teach it. The higher end could come when you start to pitch your classes to corporate clients and you get the contract for that yourself. So the pros, higher pay rate than working for studios. You might be able to make good connections. Like, for example, corporate clients often that you meet in your corporate classes often make really good clients for retreats. So if you're thinking about having a retreats business, also teaching corporate classes can go really well together because folks in those corporate environments often want to get away for a weekend or for a holiday or for a week, and they also have the money to pay for it. So you could make great connections there. And they're usually during the day. Right. So if you're not wanting to work at night or evenings or weekends, if that's something that's important to you in your schedule, you might want to consider teaching corporates. Some of the cons are limited props. So sometimes you will be teaching in office spaces that are not set up for a yoga studio. You know, so if you teach a style with lots of props and you don't want to change that, then that's maybe something that you just need to consider. It's annoying to bring your own props. I've done it. Students may be less committed. Sometimes, you know, they don't stay for the whole class. The corporate environment I put down here as a con, it may not be a con for you, but for me, I don't fit in the corporate environment. So it just was annoying to go in there. And you may have to network and pitch your ideas if you want to organize your corporates yourself. So that's just something that you'd have to learn. Not necessarily a con, but just something to consider. Today's episode is brought to you by Lost to Launch, my 50-hour yoga teacher training that will teach you everything you need to know to start your very own business. If you're ready to take the reins in your teaching career and tap into professional autonomy and an uncapped earning potential, then Lost to Launch might be the right program for you. When you join, you receive 16 weeks of Business 101 education, live group coaching, and personal one-on-one mentoring with me every single week. As well, you get lifetime access to the curriculum and our worldwide community. We start twice every year. You can join in August or March. Our course is delivered entirely online, so as long as you have an internet connection, you can start building the business of your dreams today. To learn more or apply, go to www.coragiroux.com/lost-to-launch. Oh, and we're fully accredited with Yoga Alliance, so if you care about that kind of thing, you can log your continuing education hours for the course. Once again, if you want to learn more or apply, head to www.coragiroux.com/lost-to-launch. All right, moving on, our next revenue stream is to run workshops. And you can do this either on your own or in collaboration with a studio. Workshops are great. I love them. They can help elevate your profile and allow you to build your expertise in a particular area. If they're well attended, they can also be a great cash injection into your business. However, be mindful that workshops are one-off events. So are a couple of the next strategies I talk about, so just keep that in mind. So you will have to plan your cash flow to accommodate for the weeks and months when you're not running workshops. If you run a workshop with a studio in collaboration with a studio, you will usually be able to split the profits 70-30 with 70% to you in exchange for the space, the venue, and for marketing to their database. So it's a pretty decent deal if you can get that. That is, you know, for the 10 years that I was teaching, that was pretty much industry standard. I have heard a lot of studios now doing a 50-50 split. You know, having had the 70-30 split myself, 50-50 feels like ouch. But, you know, I think there are still some studios out there doing the 70-30 split. So just keep that in mind. So what are the pros of doing a workshop? Well, you can have a higher earning potential. They help to establish your expertise and they help to build your profile as a teacher. Some of the cons, you need to understand marketing because you've got to get people into that workshop. And you may need to have your own database. If you don't partner with a studio, who is going to come to your workshop? You got to have email subscribers and social media peeps, and you have to have a database, right, to get people to come to your event. Another con, I've already mentioned it, it's just a one-off, so you have to take that into consideration with your overall strategy. Typical pay, anywhere from $250 to $700. I've made more than that at workshops. But if you, for example, were to have a workshop and you charge $50 for it and you got 20 students, you could be taking home around $700 after your 70-30 split with a studio. So not bad, right? Okay, next one is to run retreats. You could do this as simple as a day-long retreat that's in a local spot, or as complicated as an extended international retreat. Retreats can be a really great addition to your revenue stream, especially if you're a new teacher. When you think about running workshops and courses, you typically have to have a particular degree of skill as a teacher in the area that you are running the workshop or the course on. But with retreats, you don't need that. So even the newest teacher can run a really great retreat, given they get the logistics and the admin and the pricing and the marketing parts right. So this is something I think that if you are a newer teacher, you may really want to consider this. And, you know, it's not just for new teachers, but I want to point out that this is one place a new teacher might be able to really shine. So there can be a large difference in profitability with a local versus an international retreat, especially if you live in an expensive country like Australia. So if you are running a retreat locally, the profit margin will tend to be lower if you live in an expensive country. If you can run a retreat internationally where the currency that your clients pay in is of your home country, so Australia, for example, but the accommodation is paid in the currency of a different country, like, for example, Thailand. So if you think about the Aussie dollar and, is it the Thai baht? If you're listening from Thailand, I apologize if that's not what it is, but the Thai dollar, you will be able to have a higher profit margin because your accommodation costs will be much lower. So just have that in the back of your mind. If you're running retreats, I'd suggest that you get creative. This is one area where unique combinations could really thrive. So for example, you could hold a day-long self-care and yoga retreat, or combine yoga and hiking in Tassie, or do a local weekend retreat for teen girls. You know, you could get really niche and specific and combine your passions and your interests here. And I think that that could is a great place to do that. So some of the pros of running retreats are they're highly creative, they can be profitable, you call all the shots, and they're great even for new teachers. Some cons of running retreats: uncertainty around travel due to the pandemic. How many people do I know who are running retreats who've had to cancel them 7 times? And you will need to do all the marketing and logistics. So it's a bit of organizing to do and marketing. Typical pay, anywhere from $1,000 to $10,000. The lower end of that scale would be for something like a day-long local retreat, like just bumping it up from a workshop, whereas the higher end of that scale is for an extended retreat that has a lower accommodation cost than the dollar your students and clients pay in. So there we go. I'm such an introvert. I've done retreats, but I like going home at the end of the day and not still being with people. So, which brings us to our next revenue stream, which is to run courses. And this could be anywhere from an extended workshop to a yoga teacher training. Running courses is one of my personal favorite income streams. I still do it now, right? Lost to Lunch. It's a course. It's something that I love. And I love education, I love the community that builds, I love learning together, and I also love it as a business model. So it's great for teachers, especially those who've been teaching for a few years, because courses can be extremely profitable. In comparison to retreats, for example, the expenses to run a course are much lower because you don't have the accommodation costs, and you can even run your course online, in which case the overheads are even lower. And courses translate really well to online learning. So this means you will have more money in your pocket. Courses could range from anything from like a multi-part workshop. My very first one was a 4-week course. It ran on Saturdays, I think, for 2 hours each Saturday for 4 Saturdays in a row. And it was called Stress Less. Cute, right? So it could be anywhere from like a multi-part workshop all the way to creating a yoga teacher training, which is what I ended up doing in the last 5 or so years of my teaching career. So the pros of running courses: they translate well online, highly profitable. You create them once, you can teach them multiple times, could become a passive revenue stream if you deliver it in an asynchronous way. So when people can just self-pace. Some of the cons: it takes time to develop an effective curriculum, and you have to have something that you can teach. So if you're brand new, you could still do a course, but you just have to keep in mind your area of expertise. You need to understand marketing and business admin, and with a higher price point comes a higher responsibility. So people expect more from a course than they do from a workshop. So just something to keep in mind, you got to be able to deliver, right? There's an outcome that people usually expect. Now, typical pay, I put this down here from $1,000 to $50,000K. The lower end of that spectrum would be for something like Stress Less, right? A 4-week workshop where I think I actually made more than a grand in that, to be honest, because I think it was like $150. Maybe I had 12 or 13 people signed up, so I made a little bit more than a grand for that. So you could make anywhere from $1,000 for getting your feet wet with running a course all the way up to $50,000 plus. The higher end of that spectrum is for something like, you know, a 50-hour teacher training that costs $1,500 and you get, you know, a little over 30 students, something like that. You can make a lot more than 50K running courses, right? So the sky's the limit with this one. It's what I would suggest that you keep your mind on if you like education and you're looking to make your business sustainable. I'd think, have it in the back of your mind. What courses are you going to run? All right. Now that finishes our sort of like traditional business model revenue streams for yoga teachers. Now we're moving into like, you know, the new age, 2022 and beyond, with a couple of maybe non-traditional ways to make money as a yoga teacher. Now, the next one is, don't laugh, is to become an influencer. And that has a bad rap, especially in the yoga world, right? Where, you know, the handstands on the beach in a bikini thing was really big for a long time. And then we all collectively got over that, I think, for the most part. But I wouldn't turn your back on being an influencer as a business model. I would just be intentional about it. So all of the other revenue streams that I laid out, not all of them, but a lot of them were more like small business, not so much influencer. But if you can combine them, right? But if you are going to approach becoming an influencer, do it intentionally, do it with a strategy, know how you're going to make money from it. Because just being an influencer for the sake of being an influencer, unless you're getting your bills paid another way, is not what I would recommend. But you can become an influencer and make money at it if you know what you're doing. So if you haven't thought about this before, I'm going to break down three ways that becoming an influencer can actually make you money. What do I mean by being an influencer? I should define that first. Well, the term comes from someone who has influence. Duh, right? Like, you know, you're like, Cora, kill me now. But how does someone have influence? Well, they have a community. So when you are thinking about, like, are you thinking about it? But if you are thinking about becoming an influencer, what you will need, the prerequisite for that, is the ability to grow a community on social media or on some form of content platform like YouTube. I'm putting on more hand cream. Again, if you hear weird sounds, that's what it is. Can you grow a following on Instagram or YouTube or Pinterest or on your podcast or whatever it on Substack, right? If you can grow a community of people around you and your work and the content that you put out, you can become an influencer. So, you know, and even if you're like, but I have an Instagram account and it's got like 200 people and I've had it for 2 years and I don't know how to do it, you can learn how to grow your profile, right? You can learn how to grow your community. It's a learnable skill. So don't worry. If it's something that you want to do, you can set out to do it and you can learn it. All right. So how do you actually make money doing this though? You might be thinking, well, number one is with branded content. So you probably have already seen branded content on Instagram, for example. If you see an Instagram post that has a little paid partnership tag at the top left, like where the location tag is, that person has been paid to create that post. And this is what we call branded content. So let's say, for example, there was a yoga pant company that wanted me to promote their stuff on my page. We would strike up an arrangement together where they would probably send me some pants on the lowest end of the spectrum and I would create a post for them wearing those pants. Some of you might already have this going on. But you can't live on yoga pants, right? So when you are actually doing this as a business, the brands need to pay you for your posts, right? So brands are often looking for creators with a very specific niche audience that would be interested in their products. So think carefully about what brands your community would be interested in. And if you want to become an influencer, you could start to send those brands a pitch stating why they should bring you on as an influencer. Do you have a community of followers who are really into rest, for example? Why not pitch to a yoga prop company selling, you know, super luxe bolsters to create a paid post for them? So, how much can you actually make? Well, I did some sleuthing on this because, to full transparency, this is not something I've done myself. I will get to a few other ones that I have, but what I found out, and I'll link to an article in the show notes where you can read more about it, or if you just head over to my blog, coradrew.com/episode90, it's linked in the blog post version of this content for sure, where there's an article that helps to break down pay rates and how influencers are paid. But the high level info that you need is you can make around $100 per post per 10,000 followers. So if you've got 10,000 followers, you know, each post, you probably command about $100, 20,000, 200, 30,000, 300. So you can see that follower count and your community size does matter for this. However, there are brands who really like to work with micro influencers. And the reason is the smaller your account on Instagram, the usually, not always, the more your community trusts you. So the larger you grow, the less trust there is with your community. So brands know this and they're wise to it. And they know that even if an influencer has a smaller community, they can still be really valuable in terms of sharing their products. So yeah, branded content. That's your number one way to make money as an influencer, or not in any particular order. It's just the first one. The next way is through affiliate marketing. And becoming an affiliate for a brand means you share their products with your followers, or your listeners, or your subscribers, just like with branded content. But in exchange, you get a commission for every sale you make, which is usually tracked with a unique link or code. So instead of the company paying you directly just to create the social media post, you get paid when someone in your community actually clicks on a link or uses your code. You get a commission. Affiliate marketing can be a great source of income if the partnership has a good kickback. Some affiliate sales are as low as 10% of the purchase price, while others can be considerably higher. So for example, I'm an affiliate for two things. This is one part of, you know, air quotes, influencer marketing that I'm dabbling in. The first one is I'm an affiliate for each of the books that I recommend to my students. There's like five books, which I'll actually talk about in a future episode. I'm an affiliate for each one of those books. So if you buy one of those books with my link, I get a teeny tiny kickback, right? It's so small. But I was recommending them anyway, so I thought, hey, you know, every cent counts, might as well. I'm also an affiliate for Kajabi, which is the course platform and the membership platform and the website platform I use. I absolutely love them. It took me a really long time to make the switch over from Squarespace, but I'm so glad I did. They're such a powerful platform. They're also my email marketing platform and my video host. So when I switched over, I got to get rid of a lot of different apps and just streamline everything. And they have a great kickback, right? It's actually super generous. I wasn't anticipating becoming an affiliate for them, but when I saw their deal, I was like, you know what? This totally makes sense from a business perspective. So when you're thinking about affiliate marketing, if you're thinking about how to make it work, know that there is a huge variety of commissions that you can earn as an affiliate. So just keep that in mind when you're like, how do I fit this into my business model? All right. So the next way you can make money as an influencer is through YouTube ad revenue. So you know those annoying ads that pop up every time you sit down to watch your favorite YouTuber? Well, they just might be how that creator is making a living. For most YouTube creators, though, ad revenue is often a small monthly supplement that complements their other income sources. But if you get enough views on your videos, the dollars can start to add up. So This is not, again, one that I have tried, and I don't anticipate my YouTube channel will be making me much in ad view or ad revenue, because I have a very niche audience. It's you, it's yoga teachers. And so I'm not going to appeal to the general public. Therefore, my views are never going to be massive. But hey, you as a yoga teacher, you have a different situation. There are many more people who are interested in doing yoga than there are teachers who are interested in learning about business, right? Like, I've got a super narrow niche. You probably have a wider niche, right? So, you know, think about people like Yoga with Adrienne, for example. I think last time I checked, she had over 10 million followers. It's crazy. All right. So, typical pay, how much can you make getting ad revenue from your channel? Well, it's usually $3 to $5 per 1,000 views. So if you wanted to make a full-time living just off your YouTube ad revenue alone, let's say that's 60 grand a year, you would need to have approximately 50,000 views per day on your channel, per day. So that's a lot. Got to think about that. But like, if you set out and you wanted that to be your business model, you could set a strategy of like, what is going to appeal to the most people? Another con of this, just to, you know, put it out there, is that YouTube is an intermediary between you and your income, meaning if you piss them off, you could be demonetized. So for me, I would not have YouTube ad revenue as my main strategy. But I think if you're creating content anyway, and you're creating content that appeals to a large group of people anyway, why not also get some ad revenue for it? Okay. The last revenue stream that I would like to share is creating your own digital products. And this is one revenue stream that I'm actually super duper passionate about for yoga teachers for a couple of reasons. First one is that your overheads are low, right? We all want to have low overheads. Number two, the profit potential is very high. And number three, you control and you own all stages of the process. So for example, how I just mentioned with YouTube, that they're an intermediary between you and your income. That's not the case when you have a digital product that you own. So a digital product could be as simple as an ebook or an inspiring meditation album, or it could be as complex as a long online multi-module course or ongoing membership or anything in between. So, you know, it might include some of the revenue streams we've already talked about, or it might be totally different. So the pros of this are that you have full ownership over the process, you've got creative control, you have a high income potential, and you're location independent, which is something that, you know, me, especially just considering my move out to the country, is something that is on my mind. Originally, I wanted to be location independent, so it would be easier to travel in between Canada and Australia, but the world had other plans for that one. Anyhow, some of the cons for creating your own digital products, it could be a lot of work upfront, right? Because you have to create your products and you have to know how to market them and manage customer service and all of those business elements. But typical pay, you know, it's such a diverse spread. You could make anywhere from $10 if you sell one small ebook up to $100K plus if you sell an online course and you have a really good attendance, right? Something that's more expensive and you get a really higher volume. So those are the 9 revenue streams that I wanted to share with you today, but you might be wondering something. You might be thinking, but hey, you didn't mention opening a yoga studio at all. And I know, I actually decided not to include that as a revenue stream for yoga teachers. And while I try to be as objective as possible, or try to be as objective as possible in this guide, I do have a personal opinion about running a yoga studio. I used to run a few yoga studios, and it was one of the best things that I ever did. I absolutely loved it. And I should say, best thing I ever did for me on a personal level. I absolutely loved it. Having a community was so incredible. I learned so much. But if you are looking to start a sustainable business that can provide for you or your family with a comfortable income, opening a yoga studio, in my opinion, is not a wise means to that end. in most major cities, commercial rent is so high and the income generated from a yoga studio is relatively low that it means that profit margins are really, really slim. Most yoga studios rely on hosting yoga teacher training to make up the difference. So if your heart is set on opening a yoga studio and you're like, I don't care, Cora, I'm doing it anyway, I probably would have said that to you 5 years ago too. So sometimes you just got to do it, right? It's not always about what makes sense in a business perspective. Sometimes it's what makes sense for your life and what you want to achieve and what you want to accomplish and experience. But if your heart's set on opening a yoga studio, I would urge you to consider your readiness for running a yoga teacher training as well. If you don't feel equipped to run a yoga teacher training, like maybe you're a new teacher, you can commission one of your teachers to create it. That works. I know lots of studios that have done that. Or you can host another teacher who already has a training but is looking for a space. That was me. I traveled lots, just in Sydney, but like traveled from different studios. Did I go anywhere else? I had plans to go somewhere else, but then I left the studios. And that's a different story. But you could also let traveling teachers come to your studio and run their training. So that's another way you could get around that. So the pros of opening a studio, fulfillment, community, having that experience, it can be super rewarding in and of itself. You can also learn a lot about business, which is great. High overheads are some of the cons. Low pay for an incredible amount of work. You're not location independent, and the biggest kicker right now is that you're subject to closure due to COVID. As I record this at the beginning of January, yoga studios in BC and I believe Ontario and maybe Quebec in Canada are closing again or have closed. And it's 2022, right? Are we finished with this pandemic? No one knows. So that would just be, I would not open a studio. If you think we're out of the woods yet, I don't know if we are. Well, they clearly are not in Canada. And maybe we'll be back in that same situation here in Australia very soon. Some new restrictions just got announced a couple days ago, maybe just yesterday. Okay, so typical pay, anywhere from a 20K to 100K plus. So I know a studio owner who ran a small studio without a teacher training, and they were making about 20K a year in profit. If you have a teacher training and multiple studios or alternative revenue streams, you might be able to earn up to 100K. But I would imagine if you're doing that, you're also running retreats and workshops and teaching classes, you know, all of those other things. And the studio is just a place that houses those things. So in summary, when you become a yoga teacher, whether you know it or not, you will most likely become a business owner. So if that $36,000 a year minimum wage situation is not where you're at, then the solution is to learn about business and to start to develop some of these other revenue streams that I have suggested in this episode. I hope this was helpful. I hope it was useful. There'll be lots more content coming at you like this in the coming weeks and months ahead. If you want to get entered into the draw to win our It's a Practice tote, then leave us a review on iTunes. And I will see you same time, same place next week. Bye for now. Hey, thanks so much for listening to another episode of the podcast. If you feel like you got some value out of this show, would you do me a solid and either leave us a review in iTunes? It really, really helps the show reach more people, or help us share the show directly. You can just simply take a screenshot of the episode when you're listening on your phone and share it to your stories on Instagram. We would love to get the word out to as many yoga teachers as possible, and every single share counts. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next week.